Streaming worldwide from Pod Bay 2A at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Dobby and Lou? Can you feel it? Is it working?
I sure can.
Oh, I can feel it. It's touching me properly.
Touching you in special places. Show me on the doll where the state touched you, Dobby.
No, I don't think I can. Not on radio.
All right. Yeah, you gotta sound pretty good. We're gonna discuss later, a different day, why you sound so good, but I think everyone knows what happened this week. The earth-changing events of Fiend Phone. So go ahead, guys, talk about some stuff. What's on your mind?
Hey, speaking of sounding good.
Yeah.
There's like this new breakout artist that's going to tear up the charts and just take over the music world. His name is Paul McCartney.
What's he doing? Trying to relive his glory days by playing with members of Nirvana?
No, he actually recorded a song or did a performance. He had something to do with Kanye Pest, and a bunch of Kanye's younger followers were like, oh my God, this Paul McCartney guy is great. Wow, it's amazing that he started his music career being so old.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, the youth of today. When I saw those tweets, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to my bunker, check my storable food, and count my ammunition. The zombie apocalypse.
They say all that is new is old again.
Yeah. When I was stationed at McGregor Range, New Mexico, in the early 90s, I was hanging out with one of the ranger instructors out there, and he was talking about how his daughter had a crush on the newest, greatest thing. This guy was such a dreamboat, and it turned out to be Donny Osmond when he was making his comeback.
Yeah. So how long can you start?
I have heard, do you guys know, is this true that Kanye West has named his children Kanye North and Kanye South?
I heard it was North what? Yeah, North and South. Yeah, something like that.
That just
I don't care
me.
What that is.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just so, like, you have to be some sort of weird insular celebrity culture to think that's a good idea. I don't know.
Well, I think he was married to Kim Kardashian, or maybe they're still married, or I don't know. On my list of important things, that's like right at the, I don't know, right below the bottom.
Well, to give you some idea of where I'm at, I didn't even know who Kanye West was until they launched the Kanye cryptocurrency. And then I was like, who is this person and why is his face on a cryptocurrency? And then I found out he had nothing to do with it. So all that
he
I know about him.
Didn't he sue over it?
Yeah.
He was mad as heck.
Right.
He wasn't going to take it anymore.
Cease and desist. Do not use my face and
cease
whatever.
Cease your ingress, Smithers. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I know about him, is that he sues people that use his face. And so, whatever. I don't, is he a musician? Is he a football player? What is he?
Yeah. I'm making Davi coin right now. Hear me? I'm making Davi coin.
Yeah. He claims to be a musician. I'm not familiar with him. I'm not into... I think he's like one of these hip-hoppers.
He's no Sean Puffy Combs, I'll tell you that. And Sean Puffy Combs is kind of the Donny and Marie Osmond of hip hop, but he's apparently talented. I think he's, I don't know who Kanye is. Kanye is in
well,
the
he
kingdom.
He is the guy that went out on stage and snatched the microphone
from some country girl.
Taylor Swift's hand.
Yeah.
Award ceremony.
That was
okay.
Rude,
yeah, that
and
was,
crude.
Yeah, he was a no class clown for that.
No, so, class
but anyway,
that
hey,
sounds like something like someone's grandfather would say. Hackman's he's a no class clown. Those rappers, all they do is grab their junk and yell about their girlfriend. They're just criminals yelling about their girlfriend's lady parts.
They're just criminals yelling about their girlfriends as garden tools. But hey, I need to give a shout out to one of my imaginary internet friends. Down in Arizona, she's just outside of Phoenix, I think. Her name's Jonelle. She is like absolutely positively 100% awesome. She's just like us. So shout out to you. Enjoy that nice weather. I'm freezing my butt off up here in the failed state project of Detroit.
We can do that on the radio. That's yeah. And I want to do a shout out to my homies from Brooklyn. Yeah. Yep. That's what radio's for. And that's what broadcast radio is for. And I'm not being sarcastic. I do this all the time. I give messages to one person and, 50,000 people listen in. It's all right. What were you going to say? Go ahead, man.
I like doing shout outs to people that I've met over the internet, and it's really great when I finally get to meet them in person, like at Pork Fest. I got an opportunity to meet all those imaginary internet's friends, and yeah, it was really cool.
I like to give shout outs totally to awesome. Actual imaginary friends, like Bubba and Franco and Brooklyn Bob. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to them. They don't really exist.
But. These are, what do you mean actual imaginary? You mean like you have imaginary friends?
Yeah, yeah, and they're listening.
I'm not dissing it. I have imaginary friends. I thought I was the only one, though.
You thought you're the only one? No, you're a creative. All you creatives you make a living making, books about your imaginary friends.
Yeah, I have a series of reoccurring characters in dreams that are either under my control or not, which sort of raises this weird philosophical question as to whether they are independent or imaginary.
Can you murder them?
I've never tried that. They're so friendly. I'd be worried they'd never come back. Like, that's really that's really the thing. Like, continuity is the essence of reality. So, I mean, there have been continuity with these characters for, 10 years or so.
That'd be a pretty good
probably
bumper.
Imaginary.
Continuity is the essence of what? What did you say?
Continuity is the essence of reality. That's why people don't regard their dreams as real, because they wake up one morning and they go to sleep the next night.
Yeah, they're all
patchwork. Yeah, but if your dreams were continuous, you'd have no way of knowing which was real and which was dream.
Continuity is the essence of reality. That's a good bumper sticker. It probably wouldn't sell as well as your one from last night. What was it? The post office.
Well, the Randians would buy it.
So the post office is socialism for packages. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I love the post office.
So, Lou, you were talking to. Oh, go ahead, man. Go ahead with your post office.
Go ahead. I almost complimented the post office.
Good. I'm glad I stopped you.
Do we need to have an intervention?
I think we do.
Yes.
You need to come home.
Liberties.
All your friends.
Be my Liberty sponsor.
All your imaginary friends are going to be sitting in your living room when you come home saying, we love you and we need to talk. You need to call your Liberty sponsor. Call him in the middle of the night. I almost praised the post office. Help me. And they'll say they'll say
it's not every essential agency that can lose, several $1 billion a year and still be regarded so highly.
I don't know. I think every essential agency could lose several $1 billion a year.
They probably all do. Yeah. So, Lou, when you were talking about canned food to me earlier today, and I was thinking it was time for me to start, my wife and I to start rotating some of ours out, cooking it up and replacing it because it's 5 years old. But what did you tell me?
Oh, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. It might lose taste after a long period of time, but essentially if the lid, the top of the can, if it's not swollen up, then it's good to go. It's safe to eat.
Yeah, and what'd you say about the Army?
Really?
Oh, yeah. When I was in the Army, I ate canned food from two and three wars before. No, seriously, we had this OD olive drab number 10 can. That's that big giant can, and it had bacon in there. It was like pre-cooked bacon, like on sheets and stuff, and you would just unroll it and warm it up on the griddle on the on it like a mobile kitchen trailer or something like that.
And that's edible, huh?
And the dehydrated fish patty. Yeah. The bacon wasn't too bad, but it was like super salty. Mm. And the dehydrated fish patties, oh, those things were horrible. So, yeah. Military food's come a long way. I remember when the MREs were still pretty new. We referred to them as meals rejected by Ethiopia. And these things were so bad you had to be Emeril Lagasse to make something out of it. They had the dehydrated beef and pork patties back then, and if you played around with the contents of the packet, you could actually turn it into something. if you could boil up some water,
you could see through time when you eat it. Hey, I got a couple these are not really my usual. I was wrong. But the other day when Davin and I did a show, I listened to it later, and a couple stories I never finished. One was we were talking about a guy named Bo Gritz. What do you think of the name Bo Gritz, Dobby?
I love the name Bo Gritz. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the name Bo.
Yeah.
But apparently the person of Bo Gritz leaves something to be desired.
Yeah. Well, the kind of awesome thing, though, that I didn't really explain very well was I said that he was, you know, the negotiator that went in at Ruby Ridge to talk to the people that were having a standoff with the FBI there. What I didn't mention was he was not an FBI negotiator. He was like a private citizen who showed up and said to the FBI, well, they've been shooting at people and you've been shooting at them. You mind if I go in and talk to them? It was like the free market negotiator. And they were like, sure, man, go ahead.
I have to correct you on something.
Yeah, what?
You were wrong.
About what?
The FBI was having a standoff with the Weaver family.
What did I say?
You said that that those guys were having a standoff with the FBI.
I said the FBI were having a standoff with the Weaver family.
No, you said that the Weaver family was having a standoff with the FBI.
Oh, okay. Well, there were bullets being fired both ways, but I totally side with the Weaver family in that, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. So it's just a little semantic thing, and I'm always up for semantics.
That's very good. That's good to make clear, because a lot of people buy the mainstream media lie, and they basically say, oh, if that many tanks showed up, you know, and snipers from the government, they must have been bad people in that house. No, they want to be left alone. The reason that they let Bo Gritz in, I don't know if it's because they wanted it to escalate or they actually were like, we want this to stop because there were all the cameras there. But it was basically Bo Gritz did not like the government, like the people, like the Weaver family. And he also was an ex special forces guy, like Randy Weaver, or was it Army Ranger? Some kind of, really kick butt Army guy. And, so he's like,
I think it was Army Special Forces.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm Special Forces and I hate the government. Let me go talk to the guy who's ex Special Forces who hates the government. And the FBI were like, sure, man, go ahead. Go on in. Yeah. That whole thing was a tragedy. The FBI were bad men. The Weaver family were innocent. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the Fiend Phone Market. Worms.
Wimes.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com. FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
You know, another story I didn't finish yesterday, or not yesterday, it was like 3 days ago with Davi, was I was talking about my old roommate, Oliver Arms, the guy who threw paint off a ladder really well and ends up like Martin Brest discovered him, the movie director.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and bought one of his paintings, and now he sells his paintings for, $75,000 or something. The thing I didn't mention that I forgot was I had a painting that Oliver gave me when we were roommates, and it was representational. None of his paintings he sold and made a name for himself with were representational. And this one was a really dark, kind of funny it was almost a cartoon self-portrait. It was a picture of like an abandoned city street with a toilet sitting in the middle of it and him sitting on the toilet naked and a bunch of people pointing at him and laughing.
So kind of like you and me at Pork Fest, Michael.
Oh, that picture. I think you just meant in general. I was like, no, we had a great time. Oh, yeah, we did sit on a toilet.
No, all the people pointing and laughing were on the internet.
Yeah, you weren't in the room, Davi, were you? There were people in the room laughing.
No, I wasn't. But, I didn't even know where that room was. That was like some kind of weird like portal or something when you posted that photo. I'm like, where is this bathroom?
Yeah.
That was in the pavilion next to the swimming pool.
It was where we showed the Guns and Weed movie. It was the bathroom in that outdoor pavilion. It was especially weird because it was an unfinished bathroom. Like they hadn't put this, there were two toilets right next to each other in a room with a lot of space. And
with no partition,
and the walls were all like spackle painted. They weren't finished yet, so it looked like some kind of like weird thing installed in someone's kink dungeon or something for humiliation purposes. But
it was kind of concentration campy to me.
It kind of was, but
this is where we put all whose round idea up was all that? The fiends and throw them in a collective bathroom.
was that Nicole's idea or was that your idea, Lou?
That was Nicole's idea.
Yeah, so Lou and I sat on the toilet. There's nothing obscene about this picture. You couldn't see anything, but we just sat there and pulled down our pants and held hands. She started to held hands and passed toilet paper back and forth and smiled in the camera. It was somewhere smiling and somewhere looking sad, like, I'm sorry. The really humiliating one. And it was like Nicole was taking pictures, and all of a sudden there were like five people in there with cell phones taking pictures too. So there are literally like, and it was like the red carpet photo thing. Like we just stood there and people yelled out things to do with our faces and our hands. And I think there are probably 300 pictures from six different cameras of that event.
Oh God, people were rotating in and out. We probably could have charged admission to that.
Yeah. There was one where I did a funny Photoshop with it. And this again is visual humor on the radio, which Davi said we shouldn't do, but it's kind of fun. And you could go find these pictures somewhere on the internet if you want. Just search Freedom Fiends Pork Fest Toilet, I guess. And there was one where I Photoshopped in microphones on stands in front of Lou and my faces and then put like a rack of radio broadcast gear next to us and said like, the new Morning Zoo Crew radio hosts on Drive Time Radio in Beast Lick, Wyoming. Like, you know, the idea of like the guys that do the show actually from the toilet. We're not that kind of show, though. Not always.
Yeah, but we are.
We're just that kind of people. That's all.
Yeah. So anyway, there was this guy named Oliver Arms that I used to be roommates with. And he gave me this painting, you know, when he was a starving artist. Because I liked it. We kind of had like a, you know, like dudes are like, oh yeah, you're stupid. No, you are. I used to be like that. And I liked the toilet of him being humiliated, the picture of him on a toilet being humiliated in the middle of a city street at night. And I had it. And then he got famous. And I don't know what happened to that painting. I don't know if it was like, you know, at a relative's house or somewhere. Or when I moved, I put it in storage and lost it. But he wanted to buy it from me for $10,000 so he could destroy it, but I'd lost it. There's actually a picture of me playing guitar with long hair in front of this picture. If you go to michaelwdean.com and search the Solstice Suite, there's an old picture of me sitting in front of this painting. So a picture of it exists if you want to see that it really happened. But yeah, that was the other story I never finished.
How much could you get to destroy the picture?
What's that?
He said 10 grand.
Yeah. Well, it's 10 grand to destroy the painting. How much can you get for destroying the picture of you playing guitar in front of the painting?
Will he give me 20 bucks for taking the picture of the picture off my website? It doesn't even say it's him, although now I've said it's him. And, you know,
because you know, I did you can take stuff off the internet.
It's like taking,
I did a gallery show once that was the opposite, and I called it an art burn. And I took my entire college portfolio, and I did a gallery of all of it, and I said, it's all up for auction, but anything that doesn't sell will burn at the end of the show.
I like that.
And people came and purchased it because they wanted to save it.
To save it from the fires. If you don't donate to the Freedom Fiends, we'll kill this puppy. No, I'm kidding. We love puppies. If you send me a $2 donation, things will die. No. We love life, man.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Woof, woof.
So, Fiend Phone got released this week. That's pretty cool. Soon it'll be everywhere. And you can go to fiendphone.com to download it and install it and check it out. It's what we're talking to each other with over the internet, and it sounds better than Skype. So, yeah, we were talking about Fight Club the other day. You want to talk about Fight Club some more? What do you want to talk about Fight Club?
Sure.
I think it's interesting. Mm. After there's a sign outside. It says Lou's Tavern. I'm Lou. Who are you? And then he beats up Tyler Durden. And then Tyler Durden.
Well, he
go ahead.
He does say some things that we can't use, that we can't say on radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I said, says, I'm Lou.
See who that sign out front that says Lou's Tavern? I'm Feinsteining Lou.
There you go.
Who Man, the Feinstein are you? Scene.
Yeah, that scene was great because Tyler lets himself get beat up and he kind of mocks him while he's doing it.
Yeah, there's something
kind of that was
There's something kind of subtle after that, though, is what that inspires Tyler to do is give the homework assignment to go out and start a fight with somebody and lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, which is kind of it goes back to the whole like 12-step, you know, redemption, hitting bottom before you can come back. But it's also like
it's his gift to the world, man. Like, you are giving the gift of winning a fight to a complete stranger.
Yeah, but then the thing is, so Jack's response to that is to go into his boss's office and get in a fight with himself, you know.
Yeah,
it's
that's true.
I mean
it's sort of set up like the boss won the fight, but not really.
He basically extorts him. But no, there's some wording to the assignment, like start a fight with someone you don't know. That's the key point.
It's with a complete stranger.
Yeah, with a complete stranger. And Jack is a complete stranger to himself. So he fights himself.
Oh, that's wild. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the ways I used to deal with bullies when I was getting beat up, was to laugh at them and do the kind of crazy you don't know where I've been thing.
To beat yourself up.
No. I was not a very like physically imposing person as a teenager. And so I always used humor to get out of fights. But even if that didn't work, like, essentially, if you go crazy during a fight, they never fight you again.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I used to have a t-shirt in like probably when Davi was born. I don't know. Like, what year were you born, Davi?
81.
I used to have a t-shirt in like 85 that said, support your local police, beat yourself up.
That support your local fight club.
That one needs to come back. Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that. That was around when I was, that was around in like 2005 when I was in college, because there was a lot of kind of police brutality at the time. And a lot of that stuff was resurgent. Like, the Don't Talk to the FBI poster from the 70s started coming back. And, a lot of those old graphics are from, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s.
If you do a Google search for support the police, you will find that banner on there. It says support the police, beat yourself up.
Yep.
So recycling is not just for bottles and other stuff.
There's a sign.
You're reducing the burden of government by brutalizing yourself.
There's a bumper sticker in Fight Club on that limousine that they steal and crash that says recycle your animals.
Yeah.
Recycle your pets, I think.
Yeah. There you go. Spay and neuter.
There's a picture of a cat.
Spay and neuter your pets and your weird friends and relatives.
I used to have a bumper sticker that said, save the whales, collect all five.
Oh, man. Un-PC pop culture, zany. Yeah. humor you can tell your mom and dad.
Oh yeah, I'm sure this will go over just fine with the parents and the grandparents and the great aunts and uncles.
It's something to be shared with your grandkids, like, you know, 50, 60 years from now, when they're like, "You were so zany when you were a kid, Grandpa." Like, that's what that's why I keep these memories around.
Yeah, and the kids will ask questions like, "So, what was it like before meter maids carried M60 machine guns?"
Yeah.
Well, so, we used to have these things called coins, and they weren't digital. They were like round pieces of metal that people carried around in their pockets.
Yeah. So, hey, so go ahead.
Are you guys familiar with the Canadian Royal Bank or Central Bank or whatever you want to call it, trying to develop a cryptocurrency of their own?
No, nah, there's a few people trying to do that. And I think that like some credit card company has a patent on the idea of digital currencies from like 20 years
what?
Ago.
What?
You haven't heard about that?
That's absurd.
Well, there was an article in the Royal Canadian Bank or whatever you call it, offered a $50,000 fee to whoever would develop a cryptocurrency for them. And they were going to call it Royal Mint Chip, which sounds more like an ice cream than a coin. But
really, you know, sounds yummy. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know where it's gone since then. It's probably somewhere nowhere along the lines of Doge.
I don't know. Doge is pretty prolific at this point.
I don't know. I think
there's a Dogecoin, not bombs now.
Really?
Really?
But what's someone the value on Doge?
Would nothing, but
did you
it's
start,
subjective. That's what the value is.
Did you come up with Bitcoin, not bombs, the phrase?
Yeah, that was me.
Did you start the organization single-handedly and bring people, Drew, in, or were you and Drew sitting in a room chatting?
Now, Drew and I were already doing stuff for Don't Tread on Meme, which was his Silver Dime Card project. And
there
so when we started trying
freedom
to branch,
wounds. I remember that's how I met you. Was you?
Yeah,
you
probably. Remember that? Oh, yeah, yeah. You sent me that art, and I was trying to fix it up,
and I got all cranky because I get cranky.
And I was like, "Who is this guy?
Who is this guy getting cranky at me, not paying me? What is this?" And then, like, you know,
Michael got cranky,
and then eventually, I was like, "Hey, come work with me for free, part time, every week for the rest of your life for free, and let me get cranky at you." It's a great deal, and only a dozen people at a time get that experience. So.
Yeah. So no, essentially the Silver Dime Card project morphed into Bitcoin Not Bombs when we were doing a fundraising campaign for antiwar.com. And that was this, it started out as an antiwar.com slogan and then it turned into its own organization and I got the URL and I just knew it was good real estate. So I grabbed it.
Yeah. It's a good one, man.
But yeah, no, we were contacted by a guy who's like, "Hey, I want your permission to start an organization called Dogecoin Not Bombs." And I'm like, "Whatever, here you go.
That's pretty cool.
Here's all the logo files. Make it up yourself."
How's it doing? How's it going? How's that working out for
you? Dogecoin Not Bomb? Yeah. I haven't followed it any more than I've followed Dogecoin. I have no idea.
I hear the progress is pretty rough, rough.
Rough. Yeah.
If it's any indication, they did use a doge as the dog in the new Annie movie, which I'm convinced some sort of like social media marketing manager came up with.
Yeah. His kid told him
to
do it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, those doge dogs are kind of cool. I saw one at Porkfest and I really? Like everybody was just fawning over it.
The Shiba Inu. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've also heard that the price of adopting one of those, if you will, has gone sky high.
They've always been pretty high, though. But yeah, they're much higher. It's less that the price has gone way up. They were already really expensive dogs, but you can't get them now. So people that have them, I guess the price has gone up, but it's like, yeah, the market is
pretty high. So do you think the meme has increased the subjective value of the actual dog?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. I mean, it's essentially like Doge is essentially the like practical official name of that breed at this point. Nobody really knows the name Shiba Inu.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can make a bunch of money by creating Alley Cat coin and then like selling Alley Cats.
There you go. Stray coin.
And then you'll have to tell the cat, "Don't tread on my computer desk."
You know, if you use that anarcho-communist black cat graphic that the commies like
commies,
to use, I bet they would fall for it.
I bet you if you use that for anything that wasn't particularly anarcho-communist, though, they would try to like do some kind of intellectual property complaint to you.
They would, they do think they own words and symbols. That's for sure.
That's funny for people that anarcho-capitalism. If they don't like capitalism, they don't believe in property. Yeah. So, you know, they would catapult you into the next county if you use their logos.
The non-aggression principle.
You know, that's something we didn't principle. That's a good one. I think that needs to be something for Campaign for a Longer Leash.
It'll probably wind up there. I found that meme and it's on the Freedom Fiends Facebook page.
So, you know, we also didn't talk about the other day, Davi, when we were talking about commies and the fall of the Soviet Union, we didn't really discuss anything about the fact that socialism is absolutely infiltrated America, not just in the government, but the labor unions, man. The history of the labor unions goes back to like literal, you know, socialist and communist organizations. All right, please discuss.
You know what it is? No, this is the thing. And this is like something religious fundamentalists say, right? But I'm just using it as a metaphor. They say that the greatest accomplishment the devil ever accomplished was to convince you that he didn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? That's the state of socialism and communism in Western countries today, is you have people who if you ask them, are you a socialist? They'd probably say no. If you say, are you a communist? They'd probably say no. If you ask them to explain socialism or communism to you, they probably have no idea what it is, but it is textbook what they advocate, what they believe, the principles with which they reason about politics. Like, they've digested socialism and now they think it's their own idea.
Give me some examples. I agree, but give me some examples.
The police.
Banning sledding because it's dangerous.
This happened. Like,
this is happening. Yeah, there's a number of cities that want to ban sledding because they think it's too much of a liability to the like owners of the park or whatever. And so like parents go out there and it's centrally planning safety, right? Like the problem with socialism and communism is that it means that the state owns everybody. And if the state owns everybody, then that means that it has to manage their health and it needs to manage their safety and it needs to manage their risk, because the risk that the child takes sledding is a risk to the state's future tax revenue.
Yeah.
Right. So, of course, the state has a vested interest in telling you you're not allowed to sled. If you break your arm, that's like millions of dollars in taxes you won't be paying over the course of the rest of your life.
That's why they're probably going to use Obamacare to outlaw guns. You know, doctors started asking.
Well, from 7 to 2000.
Doctors started asking a few years ago in some places, like that's a question on the form when you go to a doctor, like, do you own any guns?
Or do you own a weapon? Is there a gun in the home?
Yeah. It used to be apparently a regular question with psychiatrists, but now it's a regular question some places with MDs.
Well, that's communism too. I mean, all doctors are now some level of state psychiatrists, right? Because the way you squash dissent is you call it crazy and lock them away. So it's just setting up the dominoes for that to fall.
And then you have to give them compliacin.
Like, compliacin. I need my compliacin.
Yeah, the most recent story of banning sledding is in Dubuque, Iowa, and from 1997 to 2007, nationwide, there were 20,000 emergency room visits due to sledding accidents. More Freedom Fiends and sledding after this short trip to the market.
Short trip to the ER.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Other shows. Other shows. Other shows. Other shows. Other shows. Other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends. What's happening, Davi?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm just lost, peachy.
Michael.
Hey,
how you doing?
Maybe went back to the litter box.
Yep.
But anyway,
the golden litter box of redemption.
That's what you get on if you donate. If you donate $2 to the Freedom Fiends, you get on the golden litter box of redemption.
There you go. So anyway, we were talking about sledding.
Yeah, yeah, and there were a whopping 20,000 emergency room visits over a 10-year period nationwide. And I'm sorry, but that's really not on my high list of priorities.
Is that a lot? Is that a little? How many should it be? Do the central planners have a target number for the number of emergency room visits? I mean, like, what is that number? What's that number supposed to mean to me?
Well, of course, the target is always zero. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you want a society where there are zero ER visits, you're just going to have to put everybody in a windowless cubicle for the rest of their life.
Or plug them into the Matrix.
Well, yeah, that too. That is essentially a windowless cubicle. It's a windowless goo pod.
Yeah, but state socialism. The notion is everything is owned in common by the people and managed by the state, but the reality is everything is owned by the state. So talking about socialistic monopolies, let's go with police as a prime example. And I had a conversation with a conservative, also known as AMCONs, who are really not that much different from ANCOMs.
AMCONs mean American Communists?
Well, the American conservative is not a whole lot different from the Soviet communist. Especially with the nationalism and the desire for a strong state enforcement apparatus, because you can't have limited government without a expansive militarized enforcement wing. But yeah. He was talking about the need for universal security. And
universal security. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to hear this.
We're talking about policing. He's talking about how universal security is a right. And the most efficient and cost effective way to do this is with government policing, because we know that government always does everything efficiently and finds the lowest possible lowest possible cost to, provide these services. Just look at
I thought you said he was a conservative.
Well, I also said that there's very little difference between the American conservative and the Soviet communist.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not a well thought out position. And of course, it comes down to, but what about the poor? And I mean, that's always the status default on things. And
they get to be free riders. That's what happens. You get rid of you ignore the free rider problem, and suddenly being poor is not a problem because you get to be a free rider on what is otherwise a market system.
Let's take a step further. Let's talk about Flint, Michigan, which is actually worse than Detroit. So Flint is truly the failed state project. Let's talk about, what's happened in Ferguson. Let's talk about what happens in Los Angeles, Chicago, and all these other places. If you're going to say, what about the poor, and point to the current state of policing as like some sort of great thing,
There are much more efficient ways you could execute the poor. I mean, like, that's obviously the goal of the police department, right? So,
execution style talk radio, the Freedom Fiends, a bullet of truth to the base of your brain while kneeling.
Yeah, well, it's like the police are a Malthusian enterprise. They're designed to lower population and everything else. But, how are the poor being taken care of right now? Because these areas are where you have a lot of robberies, you have more murders there, you have all sorts of just horrible garbage environment. And it is a government manufactured environment. Look at any public housing project.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, not to mention like the way they deal with the poor is they pass so many regulations and licensing laws and food vending permits and sidewalk vending permits that they make it impossible for them to do anything other than attempt to seek a minimum wage job, which they essentially price them out of by raising the minimum wage. And so, yeah, the government is the one that puts the poor in the box they can't get out of.
And look at the government schools making people unready to go out and actually earn a living. They graduate from the government high schools being completely unproductive and not really worth a hoot.
They do know the importance of number two pencils, though.
What's the importance of that?
Well, that's the only kind of graphite the government can read. Allegedly. Oh, really? I don't know why. Everything the government wanted in school needed to be a number two pencil. And it was never explained to me.
That's because that's what computers could visually read back then.
Coming back with our number two pencil. After this trip. This trip to the government manufactured environment.
Yeah. Worms. Smurl.
Right. Remember my government manufactured environment.
Yeah. Worms.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I, number 2, pencil.
I, pencil.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting. From the Libertarian Re-Education Camps. In Beast Lick, Wyoming. I am Michael Dean of the Beast Lick Internet Policy Outreach Center. I'm talking to Dobby Barker from ShinyBadges.com and Lusander Fien, the one of the board members of the Campaign for a Longer Leash. How are you doing, gentlemen?
You know, I just got to say, everything you've been told about number two pencils is a lie.
I grew up
with a dad who was a graphic designer, and he worked from home.
My dad was a graphite designer. He made pencils.
No, for sure. We had graphite pencils around of all of the different varieties, right? Because we had art supplies around. So I had like from 1 to 8, any thickness, any whatever kind of pencil you wanted. So when they started telling me these Scantrons, there's something magic about the number two pencil. Make sure to bring in your number two pencil. Well, I was a skeptical kid from a young age. I tested it. Right. And they told me these like star whatever tests that I wasn't going to be graded on. And it was based on what the school thought or whatever. And so I was like, I'm going to try every single pencil and see if one of these Scantrons ever comes back like rejected. And they never did. Like, it must be the number two pencil lobby.
It
I think that must
pencil
be why
industrial complex, man.
Exactly. So I hate
to sound old timey, but Michael and I are a bit older than you, Dobby. And maybe the number two pencil thing was true back when we were in school.
Do you guys? It probably was. Maybe. And it was just kind of, you know, part of the history. And, you know, people don't like change. But
it's like the llama dung of public education. Yeah. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. You got to tell me about that in a minute. But you've told me that before, I think. Do you remember that font? In the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that was the computer readable font. It was used in a lot of like movie posters and stuff for like representative of the future. It's that really kind of blocky,
It was like LCD screen almost.
It's still on checks, on the bottom of checks, like the routing number.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because back then, that was the only font that could be used with optical character recognition when they first came out with it.
Well, that's not true anymore. So I want my check routing numbers in cursive.
I want them in llama dung. Explain that, Dobby.
So this is just one of those examples of doing things the same way that they've always been and not really asking why. And this is something that happens to bureaucracies that, you know, nobody's incentivized to ever improve. And so nothing ever changes. But allegedly at some point, although this has been fact checked, it's all over the internet. This is essentially a true story, although I'm paraphrasing. The Air Force used to treat all of the pilot seats with llama dung, and the Air Force used to maintain its own herd of llamas to procure this dung that they needed to treat the pilot seats. And finally, somebody said, why do we do this? Like, this seems like such a waste of resources to like have people you know, shepherding this herd of llamas to, just for their dung. And they go back and they looked into it, and the army does it and the navy does it. And they go back a little further. They discover the cavalry does it. They said, why did the cavalry do it? Well, the British cavalry did it. And they go back and they discover that it's because in the colonial period, there was a shortage of cowhide, and they had to make saddles from horse hide. And if you put a horse hide saddle on a horse, it spooks the horse. And so you treat the horse hide saddle with dung of some kind to change the smell. And that's why our military has been procuring llama dung for pilot seats for like 200 years.
Oh my God. So,
because if you don't do it, then you don't get that money in the budget next year.
Yep. Could you imagine the recruiter coming to the high school and say, you know, you ask him, hey, what MOS do I qualify for? And that's military occupational specialty. And the recruiter says, oh, llama dung procurer. You can be a llama shepherd. Awesome. According to your ASVAB test, your Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, you qualify to shepherd llamas. And, you know, it's really stupid with, well, this is the way we've always done it. And that, I don't know if that's more stupid than the, well, that's what the regulations say that we have to do. You know, the, by the book, we must do it this way.
It is equally that stupid. No, that, and it's the same. That's the thing. That's the same answer. It's not even a metaphor. That is the same thing. Like the regulation, the handbook says treat leather seats with llama dung. That's the regulation. So let's just do that.
Do they have like,
otherwise 40, we have to, you know,
do they have like 20 pages of the consistency and the qualities and the, you know, within certain narrow parameters of how the dung has to be?
Oh, I'm sure. And I bet they have a bunch of regulations on the proper care and treatment of llamas.
Have you ever seen have you ever seen like the US, you know, the Department of Defense's, I don't even know what the spec sheets are called, but like for, they have one for somebody, this went viral for a while, like early on the web, like 96, it was the, their specs for a chocolate chip cookie. I mean, it looked like the blueprints for a submarine, not a submarine, but like, you know, a typewriter or something. It was that complicated. And it was,
like, and it was from the military. It was like the,
yeah,
military.
It was like, yeah, it was for the KP. It was like, you know,
the MRE cookie.
It had to be within, no, for like regular, for, you know, serving for dinner, for dessert, you know, within a certain like milligram range, within a certain diameter, you know, very, very narrow parameters and like a certain number of chips per cookie.
Do you guys remember this? This was in the early years of the Iraq War, and there was a budget essentially that was released and sort of mocked in the media because it was discovered that the military had spent billions of dollars importing sand to Iraq.
Oh, the first Gulf War.
Was that the first Gulf War?
Is that the one you were in?
Yeah.
Is that when you were there?
I was not deployed to the Middle East, and yeah, I remember that story because
you were in Germany making chocolate chip cookies, weren't you?
Yeah, something like that. But anyway,
thank you for your service making those chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, because the sand in Saudi Arabia was supposed to be holy. They had to import a whole bunch of sand to fill up sandbags. Yeah.
And was that what it was?
Yeah. And this whole idea of, well, that's the way the book says it. That is a state socialism mindset. Have you guys seen the movie Comrades of Summer?
No.
Nope.
Okay, it was with Joe Mantegna. It came out in probably the early 90s, something like that. Early 90s. But anyway, Joe Mantegna plays a washed-up baseball coach, and he winds up getting tapped to go over to Russia to coach the Russian Olympic national team. And his Soviet counterpart is played by Hector Elizondo, and he keeps telling, you know, these guys, well, here's how we have to do this. And, you know, the guys had gone down to Cuba to learn about playing baseball and everything, because, I mean, they do play a lot of baseball in Cuba. But Hector Elizondo's character kept saying, no, we can't do it that way. Manuel says we have to do it like this. Manuel says we have to do it like that. And then find out that Manuel is actually a manual, a government manual on how to play baseball.
Wow.
And the Russian guys, they get together on their day off just to play baseball, not to do their job, but just to play baseball and have fun. And they just do a bang up job. They're having a good time, and they're like, hey, don't tell the coach. because Joe Montana finds, you know, catches him and, hey, what are you guys doing on your day off? He says, well, we're out here to have some fun. Tomorrow we'll be out here to do our jobs. Don't tell the coach. And that is a state socialism mindset that you have to do it like this. You know, yeah. It doesn't allow for any type of open mind or experimentation. It's a one size fits all. And realistically, it fits nobody.
I mean, if that wasn't the right way to do it, the government wouldn't have written it down.
In some kind of crazy computer readable font from the 60s.
Do you know basketball was invented at the YMCA somewhere in America because they wanted a sport that didn't cost a lot of money to play that you could play indoors in the winter?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you sure basketball isn't like some relic of some Roman Olympic game? No,
baseball is, though. Baseball is, I don't want to be wrong, but I think it's related to something Native Americans did, but I could be wrong. Who knows?
Well, I think it comes from, who was the inventor of American baseball? I think it was Abner Doubleday.
Yeah, sounds right.
And that was like in the 1800s.
I think I've heard Futurama.
He probably took like open source ideas and came up with American baseball.
Yeah, open source. Like Fiendphone from fiendphone.com. So do you guys... Go ahead. You're talking about cookies, right? Go ahead. Tell me some more things about military waste. I'm intrigued by your $800 hammers and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Okay.
It's a pretty expensive subscription.
Ever watch MASH, I was on in the 70s.
I love MASH.
In the winter time, the supply truck would come and they pull out the mosquito nets and the suntan lotion and everything else. And that's really not too far from the truth. I was in to get like regular equipment that we needed to go out to the field was just unbelievable. I can't count the number of times that my commanding officer or somebody else would send me out to scavenge and acquire equipment.
Did that mean go to the black market?
It basically meant ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies on where it came from.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when Desert Storm came up, my unit didn't get tapped to go, but they did take a bunch of our equipment. And that was, part of it was to subsidize and fortify the sister units that did go over there. But it's also because there was a major shortage of parts and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, these guys are going over there. They need, this basic, stuff that you can't, you can't go over there and just like really exist without it. So all the stuff got plundered and pillaged. And then a couple weeks later they came through and they took probably about maybe 50 people, something like that. I don't remember what the number was. And then a couple weeks after that, or a week or two after that, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I got the call saying, yeah, they're looking for one guy and it's you. So I started off with a 5-hour recall. I had 5 hours to gather all my equipment, ready to go, ready to take off and shoot over there. And then at the end of the 5 hours, it was 1 hour. So every time the phone rang, every time there was a knock at the door in the barracks, I was like, oh my God, what the, looks like I'm going in the sandbox.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wild.
Exciting enough.
I'm so glad I never did anything like that. I'm like, I didn't grow up in a military family, but I remember when I was a kid, like the first time I even heard somebody like describe war, I was like, oh man, I hope I never end up in some situation like that.
Worms.
Waves.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. So much truth, it hurts. So much truth, it hurts. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And, I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Tasing you with fiend phone.
Yep. So we just got
Davi.
We just got a disturbing piece of news over the wire.
Breaking news, breaking news. The Pope is visiting the Philippines January 15th through 19th, and police will be so consumed with dealing with traffic that they will not be able to use the restroom. And as a result, we'll be wearing adult diapers.
And we're on the radio there, so I want to do a shout out to Radio Caribou. I don't know how you say that. We still haven't figured it out.
I'm almost certain it's caribou.
No, because caribou are like elk type things. They're not water buffalo. They're not buffalo type things. Yeah.
Isn't it spelled the same way?
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
Then I'm wrong. I admit it.
Shout out. Radio Dave. It's also known as Radio Dave. So Radio Dave in the Philippines. we're talking about your nation. It's not his nation, but yeah, go ahead, read this article. It's the infantilization of the public workforce for the greater good.
I don't know. I think it's just a physical manifestation of the emotional state of police officers. Mm-hmm. Let me just read this. So when Pope
you're burying the lead. Yeah, go ahead.
When Pope Francis visits the Philippines, traffic enforcers won't let the capital streets get gridlocked if they have to answer to the call of nature. About 2,000 traffic enforcers who will be on duty during January 15th to 19th will be required to wear adult diapers, said Metropolitan Manila Development Authority Chairman Francis Tolentino. Tolentino also encourages people who will wait for hours to see the Pope to also wear diapers.
Whoa.
The prospect of wearing diapers while on duty was well received by his men, he said Wednesday.
That's the insanest part of this, that like, yes, that's okay. They told me I have to act a two-year-old. I'll do it. Two-year-olds don't even always wear diapers, man.
If you have to wait in line for bread for 8 hours and you don't want to lose your place in line
Ready for social, for communism.
You're right. This is get ready. This is going to be the ER in America once we, you know,
you're going to be
waiting in line.
Obamacare will cover the diapers in the waiting room.
Because you don't want to lose your place in line. Toledo said the idea will be tested on Friday by 800. They're going to beta test it. It's going to be tested on Friday by 800 traffic enforcers who work shifts during the nearly 24-hour annual procession of the Black Nazarene. I don't know what the Black Nazarene is. It will be the first time that.
Supposed to be good for you.
Yeah, Nazarene means from Nazareth, so it doesn't mean from the Nazis. It's from Nazareth. it will be the first time that traffic enforcers in the Philippines will wear diapers that we know of while on duty in the streets.
Did you add that we know of, or is that in there?
I added that. Sorry, I'm going to get a little editorial. This is too funny. Yep. The Black Nazarene procession attracts hundreds of thousands of barefoot, mostly male Filipino Roman Catholics who parade a centuries-old black statue of Jesus Christ, which devotees believe possesses mystical powers that could cure ailments and answers wishes of good health and good fortune. Dispose it cures diaper rash. If you make your pilgrimage to this Black Nazarene statue, will it cure diaper rash? It's an important question that Filipinos want to know. Tolentino says there won't be enough portable toilets for the millions of people expected to see Pope Francis hold an open-air mass at the seaside Rizai Park on January 18th. If you attend the event that will last for 24 hours, you cannot go around looking for a portable toilet, Tolentino says. Priests, nuns, seminarians, and the elderly also should consider wearing diapers.
People will wear one. People often say,
asked if he will also wear one. Will the bureaucrat be taking his own advice? He says, I will try, but in any case, I have less hydration.
Oh, man. This could be a good idea. It just all depends on your point of view.
Lou was strangely silent. And, you know, sometimes he writes a couple paragraphs. I can hear him. He's there with his number two pencil writing comedy. That was pretty good, man. Sometimes less is more. Is this is this The Onion, or is this real, Lou?
This is ABC News. It's from the AP.
This is real. People make fun of me.
This might be the solution to the NYPD. I mean, especially
make
the
wear diapers and nothing else.
And nothing else. This is your new
uniform. Diapers and a gun. Nothing else. Yeah.
Right.
Let this be a lesson to all the listeners out there, especially the children that are listening. If you, really apply yourself, you can be a beta tester for a Fiend Phone, but if you don't, you'll be a beta tester for Depends.
Remember, cleanliness is near to godliness, so soil yourself.
People ask me why I watch Fox News occasionally. It's to find out news like this, man. That's where I got this.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Thank you for your service.
Are they going to be like big bulky or...
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
What do these things look like?
I'm going to leave that part in. Here on the live Freedom Fiends. I had the fader up.
Are they going to get special police Kevlar diapers?
are they going to have like their municipal police logo on the back of the diaper?
You know, I just want to say, just to be perfectly clear, I'm not making fun of Manila or the Philippines. I am maybe 10% making fun of Catholics, but this is mostly making fun of police and municipal bureaucratic decisions.
I'm not even making fun of people who have to wear adult diapers. That's,
condition. No.
I'm making fun of people that automatically comply at the suggestion that they should wear diapers and poo in their pants and pee in their pants for 24 hours because it's in their job description. Of course. Yeah, society requires it.
Because obviously 24 hours you have to...
I think it's a test. I think it's a test to see what they can make police do.
I'm calling bollocks on this whole thing too, because there are over 1 million people that go to Mecca every year and they have plenty of portable toilets for those. So, this is This is not true. This is not required. You should expect more from your municipal bathrooms.
Well, Catholic guilt, man. They want to, Catholic guilt. It's not just for children anymore.
I have absolutely no expectations from bureaucrats and municipalities and governments and all that other stuff. This basically falls right into what I expect.
I agree. I'm not making fun of Catholics much here. I'm making fun of the state and the fact that people who are the enforcers of it are willing to comply. Now, are these like police that carry guns, or are these like lollipop ladies with signs?
Traffic enforcers is all it says. You're right. I'm not making fun of Catholics either. The 10% that I am making fun of is the notion of making a pilgrimage to a statue that has mystical powers. Yeah. But that's not really a Catholic thing.
I thought
that's
this was the Pope showing up. Isn't this the Pope showing up?
It's also the Pope showing up, but the mass is being held at this statue called the Black Nazarene, which is like a local statue that is sort of locally, culturally, maybe.
I think someday the mystical powers. People will make a pilgrimage to Derek's basement where he created Fiend Phone in Maine.
Oh yeah, it'll be like one of those 18th century log cabins where it's like, this is where the light bulb was invented. That are like preserved and all windowed off.
Aren't there a couple of garages in Silicon Valley where you live, Davi, that are preserved, like the place that Hewlett Packard started or something? Like the people who own those companies now went back and bought the house so they could like just have the garage they created the company in to go sit in.
I don't know, but that's a cool idea. I mean, like, if I had more money than I knew what to do with, I might purchase places that were significant to me and preserve them.
I wouldn't. I don't hold much credence on that kind of stuff. It's what comes out of it, not where it was, you know. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's historically significant,
file sharing,
like, you know, peer-to-peer file sharing, like Napster and, you know, later turned into BitTorrent, which was unstoppable. That happened in somebody's dorm room somewhere. I wonder if that dorm room is like people fight to get that dorm room.
You know, I think this is the wrong paradigm. All of these things were invented on the internet. We should all be fighting to preserve the internet from government malfeasance.
We need the government to preserve the internet. No, I'm kidding. There's a... So, you know, actually, you know what they auctioned? The Pirate Bay auctioned off the server computer. You know, it's just like a rack mount computer, small, you know, rack mount thing that was the first host for the Pirate Bay.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, it's a little bit like the Hard Rock Cafe purchasing sort of relics of rock and roll, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, there's
some value to that, I think.
There could actually be a connection to this incident in the Philippines and the Pope visiting there. Maybe the Pope should go to Venezuela because they don't have toilet paper there.
Why? That's a good segue. I hear your segue. Go ahead.
The Pope is an advocate of state socialism policies. He's completely economically illiterate. And he's basically a commie. But, yeah, down in Venezuela, they're enjoying the fruits of state socialism. And there was a couple months back, I saw an article talking about how they had to import a bunch of toilet paper because they didn't have any. And the amount that they imported came up to about 2 rolls per person in the country.
Per year.
So,
and of course, equally distributed, right? Because it's communist.
Probably. You know,
was it all in the leaders' chambers?
Well, I imagine there was no shortage in the leaders' chambers, but they're running into shortages of all sorts of things. I think they even had an appliance store like the equivalent to Best Buy or Circuit City or something like that. The government was complaining about the prices that they were charging for consumer electronics, and they ordered them to start selling them at lower prices. Yeah. And now they have a shortage of appliances, but also they don't even have soap now. This article comes to us from Zero Hedge, and the title is, Now There's Not Even Soap. Maduro Heads to China to Save Socialist Utopian Venezuela. Social media is awash with the striking images of empty shelves in Venezuela, and that's the hashtag for it. And because of their economic central planning, the shelves are empty, and there's all these different Twitter pics of empty shelves, and it is absolutely barren. It looks like a store that's been closed for, you know, a year or a brand new, well, it doesn't look brand new, but I picture a brand new store before the inventory comes in. And of course, the response was to ban posting pictures of empty shelves to social media sites like Twitter and Facebook as banning stuff. Problem. Heaven forbid that you should, you know, point out that there's no shelves. And this article comes to us from ZeroHedge.com.
Hedge.
The title is, "Now There's Not Even Soap. Maduro Heads to China to Save Socialist Utopia Venezuela." it's hilarious. There's a bunch of pictures on Twitter and other social media websites showing the empty shelves. They are like out of everything. Putin, they said, well, that's fine. We'll wash our hair with soap. And now they don't even have soap. And as a response to the empty shelves, the government has banned photographing and posting these pictures to social media websites because nothing solves the problem of empty shelves quite like banning taking pictures of it. It's kind of like that Thanks Michelle Obama campaign where kids were taking pictures of the prison food that they were getting in their school lunches.
Yeah.
And the schools responded by banning taking pictures of it. So, but yeah, they've run out of toilet paper. They're running out of soap and shampoo. Even McDonald's there has shortages of French fries. And from another article that I saw also in Zero Hedge, they were talking about how Venezuela is basically the only country that's running into these shortages of French fries. There was another shortage in Japan, I think it was, where they had to ration French fries.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And when you're getting into rationing, that is major government failure because that's central planning of the economy.
Nothing says communism or socialism like shortages.
Yeah. It's like during World War II where people had to have ration cards to buy fuel, to buy all these different things. And heck, you couldn't even buy new appliances for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think it was from like 1943 to 45. Ford Motor Company did not make a single private automobile. Everything was put into the war effort. So, matter of fact, when I was stationed in Germany, there were ration cards for cigarettes, tea and coffee and liquor because the taxes for the Germans were so high that they would have, they would ask Americans to buy cigarettes, liquor and coffee for them. Well, not really the coffee because they had much better coffee. No self-respecting Germans can ask for a can of Maxwell House. So, and because of that, that was a great way to pay your rent if you had an apartment downtown.
Was what?
Cigarettes, liquor, and all the other stuff. Oh, yeah. Back when I was there, the value-added tax or the national sales tax was only 14%. Now it's like 22%.
Wow.
And that's on everything. So of every mark that you spent back then, 14 pfennigs was going right into the rat hole of government. You can't have socialism without big taxation.
I'm surprised if they're sort of identifying as a communist country that they have McDonald's or import McDonald's French fries. That seems sort of antithetical. Socialism. Okay.
If you look at the Soviet Union, there were private corporations that were over there, like American corporations. It wasn't that every single thing was owned and controlled by the state, just the vast majority of it.
I guess, so one thing is odd that, because McDonald's is sort of like the stereotypical sort of symbol of capitalism to anti-capitalists, which is odd. But also, like, French fries are just potatoes. Like, why is it that McDonald's would have a shortage of French fries if the country doesn't have a shortage of potatoes? And if McDonald's is free to conduct business there, why aren't they just using, like, why aren't they growing their own potatoes?
I'm going on memory here, and there's, like, a central distribution for South and Central America, stuff like that. And I'm not really sure what exactly is going on with that.
Probably with a regulation here, though.
I don't really know what caused it, but a statement from the distributor says, nobody else is having any problems. So it could be a money problem too, because they are experiencing, I think it's 1,000% inflation that I saw earlier.
Whoa, wow. Really?
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's like, isn't that worse than Germany during the Weimar Republic?
Oh, no.
I don't know. No. There's like I just don't understand what those percentage numbers mean anymore.
With Weimar Germany, they were printing money so fast that they were only printing on one side of it and the other side of the paper was blank. And I bought a 250,000 mark note at a flea market over there when I was there in the summer of 98. And it was bad. People were getting paid three times a day because the money was devaluing so quickly.
Meal, the price of a meal would change by the time you're done eating it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space, to space, to space, to space, to space, to space, to space.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? And we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan political action committee whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? Through horizontal enforcement. Horizontal enforcement is how concerned citizens help grow government with our day-to-day attitudes and actions. Because no matter how much government expands, there can't always be a police officer or federal agent everywhere. That's where you come in. Start snitching. If you see something, even if it's nothing, say something. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, spout an endless stream of verbal horizontal enforcement. Tell anyone who will listen, and especially those who don't want to listen, why more government is a good thing. Do this constantly. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes, arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, and shaming anyone who's caught breaking any law or criticizing our justice system. Who needs innocent until proven guilty? If someone gets arrested, they're probably guilty. So act like they are until they are. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Because more government means more warm, fuzzy feelings for all of us. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach, and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yo.
So, give us some redemption in the third act, Lou and Davi.
Alrighty. Currently, it's not looking very good for Venezuela, but there is hope. All they have to do is give up on this socialist utopian ideal and start embracing the market. And one of the things that is going to save them is they are going to create a black market. And when I say black market, I'm not just talking about vice and you know, weapons and stuff like that. It's going to be a black market in basic staples of human existence. It's going to be agorism.
Even staples. You'll have to buy staples on the black market because there won't be the store staples to buy your staples anymore.
Right. But if you look at what happened in the Soviet Union and the rest of the Eastern Bloc nations, they had tremendous black markets. Probably the mid-1980s, I think the Soviet government admitted that at least 20% of their economy was on the black market, or gray market, if you will. and because of their socialized health care, there were always shortages of medicine. So doctors would flat out tell their patients, hey, if you need medicine, you know, go see this guy here. We don't have it, but he does.
I had a guy and do that in L.A., like I needed like toe fungus medicine and it was really expensive. And the guy basically said, you know, you have to have your blood monitored periodically when you're taking it. And I said, I can't afford that. And he's like, go to Tijuana and get it. And then come back here and I'll monitor your blood, do your blood tests. I've also gone to Tijuana for dental work, but it fell out after about 4 years.
But the black market, it's not, you know, this horrible thing. The black market is actually a solution to a government-created problem. It saves lives, too.
I mean, when you get to this point where people are starving in the streets and stuff like that, like the existence of a counter-economy is going to keep people from drowning, you know?
Yeah. There's a black market in North Korea. It's pretty thriving. It's how people eat.
Yeah. I just imagine if the Silk Road became the new mail order pharmacy and you didn't have to deal with the insurance companies and all this other stuff.
Well, you know, I was actually looking today. Because I have asthma, not terribly bad, but, you know, and like I never have life-threatening asthma attacks or anything, but I'll get really out of breath, and those Primatene inhalers really help. And they banned them like 4 years ago because the tiny amount of aerosol in them was supposed to be like bad for, you know, the ozone layer or something. And they did not allow, basically it was like, you know, the medicine industrial complex wanted to sell much more expensive prescription drugs. And, you know, the company that makes Primatene said that they were going to create a non-aerosol version of the same medicine, but never did. I think that, you know, there was a lot of money exchanged somewhere and they didn't. And you can't get it now. And I was like looking online today for like substitutes for it. And there's nothing that works as well as it. That's cheap. You know, like that's, and I ran out of it, or I'm almost out of it. I stockpiled it. And, that's something that, you know, if you could buy that on the Silk Road, I'd probably do it. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, not only that, but there was an allergy medicine that was essentially banned, because people were using the, what's that ingredient that goes into meth?
Oh, to make meth. Yeah. This is related to that chemically, but I've never heard of anyone using it to make meth. It was banned, not because of that. It was because of, environment.
So now people that suffer from bad allergies have to walk around with the sniffles. And if you are going to get any type of decent medication, you have to go through basically a background check. That's not much different from purchasing a firearm, because they will take your name. And if you buy too much allergy medicine, it goes into a database
on your permanent SWAT rated. Yeah.
You will get SWAT rated for being a suspected meth.
Give me some redemption, Davi. We got 10 seconds.
Imagine if when buying a gun and getting your background check, your firearms dealer was supposed to ask you, do you have any medicine in your home?
They're working on it. They're working on doing that.
It's so absurd to me. It's laughable. And I guess...
Well, Davi, they kind of do. They kind of do. When you go to buy a gun, the on-the-spot background check... when you buy at a gun store, one of the questions is, are you a drug addict or are you a habitual user of marijuana? So you were joking, but that's real.
It's already happened.
All right.
Hey, Venezuela and America, the market will provide. Just embrace it. Give up on government.
Tune in tomorrow on the Freedom Fiends for Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, dropping mad science and scientists. Thanks, guys. Been a good show.
Worms.
Worms.